My son, who is in his late 30s right now, is, you know, the younger the men are, the more they are, it seems to me, at least most, many of them, maybe their pendulum will swing back the other way as they find themselves competing with women in the job market, because it seems to be that, you know, women are fine as long as they don't compete with me, but as long as they don't take my job, it's okay. Let them take his job. But my son, as far as I can tell, is completely non-gender as far as his approach to sex is concerned. I mean, he's married, has two children. Let me qualify that quickly. But he doesn't look upon life as that's a woman's job and that's a man's job. Women do this and men do that. It is not, you know, at least he doesn't look. Now, from time to time, I notice that he does expect his wife to do certain things. But he 9 times out of 10 comes home at night. He likes to cook. So he comes home after having been all day at work, and he cooks dinner. 9 times out of 10, he cooks dinner. When both of them are working, he cooks dinner, and when both of them are not working, he cooks dinner very often, simply because he likes to do it. Doesn't see any reason why his wife has to do it. He doesn't always clean up afterwards, but he doesn't mind the cooking. He doesn't mind the changing of diapers and all of that kind of thing that used to be de trop. I mean, that's life. I mean, what I do. In fact, they're returning. They hope to return to Pittsburgh the end of June to live. And if his wife gets a teaching job, he will probably be delighted to take his time about getting into what he wants to go into, his own consultant firm. And it's going to take him a while to get started. And he says, "Let my wife get her teaching job. That'll be a base for us to work on." And there's no feeling of, well, it's not her job to get a job, it's your job to get a job. And, you know, it seems like the young people have this attitude of sharing, which is the way life should be, but it doesn't always work out that way.
Marcia, was there something else you wanted to ask?
Perhaps this inclination to be less magnanimous going to 3 martini lunches didn't have to do with perhaps economics as well as with health?
Well, I think there's a lot less drinking at lunch, at business lunches. At least my business used to be called probably the most convivial. Advertising and public relations has always had the reputation of having 3 martini lunches, and used to. But now if I go out to lunch with people, very often no one has a drink, or if they have a drink, it's a glass of white wine. It's very much, drinking has, I would think, gone way, way down in the list of the things one does at lunchtime in my business. I don't know about other businesses, but certainly in my business, it has.
How do you view your accomplishments?
Lucky, being in the right place at the right time, and working hard. I think if you're willing to give enough of yourself and you have some ability, you can be successful at anything you want to do. If you like doing it and you're willing to work at it and you have some ability, I think anyone, male or female, can succeed. I have been enormously lucky at being at the right place at the right time. But I think that you get, except for your first job or two, you get to the right place at the right time because you've done reasonably well somewhere else, and somebody puts you at the right place at the right time. But I do think, I think I worked harder than most of the people that I was working with. I didn't, you know, 5 o'clock was not, the bell rang, I didn't run screaming from the building. There were many nights and Saturdays and Sundays that I either work late at the office or brought work home with me. It is the nature of my business to have it come in fits and starts. You're either terribly busy, or you may run into periods when you have almost nothing to do. It's that kind of business. Sometimes in July and August, just nobody preparing anything, no advertising being done, and no new campaigns and no new budgets. Then come September, you go absolutely insane until mid-December, and then you have another month when there's not much going on. So it's a very spotty kind of business, but when you're busy, you are really busy.
How would you list your successes, specifically, categorically?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Well, you succeeded by rising here and there in the business world, or maybe you want to...
Oh, you mean what I think is being successful?
Yeah.
Oh, I have a very clear picture of that. Being successful, it's going to sound terrible, I think, but to me, being successful has nothing to do with money. It has to do with recognition from your peers and with the people who have worked for you or with you. And I have had a great deal of recognition from my peers, for which I am really grateful. And to me, that is the most important thing that has ever happened to me. Of course, it's wonderful to be recognized as somebody who knows what you're doing, and that has come to, recognition has come to me. I've never thought in terms of money. Money has never been terribly important to me. I'd like to have enough. I like to be comfortable and enjoy myself, but it has never been important to me to be rich. I am not acquisitive. Things have very little value to me. If I can have a good tennis racket, good tennis shoes, a good typewriter, I can live, you know, word processor, I'm fine. And I'm just I don't refurnish every year, and I don't buy a new car every year, and I needn't have the biggest car in town. Just needs to get me there and look reasonably attractive. I've traveled all over the world, but I don't have to live in only the best hotels and so on. It's my attitude. Thank goodness it's my attitude, because I probably couldn't afford to do anything else from here on anyhow. But in any case, always been my attitude. I've never been ambitious for money. I'm not even sure I've ever been ambitious, but I've certainly never been ambitious for money.
Should we talk about failure?
I thought I was a failure as a mother, but my son tells me I'm not. So I certainly thought so between his ages of 16 and 20, maybe even take it down to 14 and 20. I thought I was a big failure, but then I looked at other kids and I thought, I'm no more of a failure than anyone else. So, and now I look at him and say, he's a success. So he's overcome whatever failures I might have. And I know I contributed we've discussed in great length the fact that I think it is probably especially difficult for a young man to compete with his mother. And this could be, a problem. There are an awful lot of single women in the world raising children. And if they are raising men or women, but particularly if they're raising boys, it may become a problem for them, as it was for my son, to compete with his mother. One thing, I guess, for men to compete with their fathers, but it is a different situation to compete with your mother. And I remember that he said, I used to think of you as my mother, the vice president. And in fact, that's the title for my book, if I ever write it. But I think he's a good writer, but didn't go into the public relations business because of me, I'm sure. And I would not want him to. I mean, I certainly would not have wanted him to come into my company. It would have been dreadful for him. But it was something he had to overcome. The fact that his mother was a successful woman, that everybody knew his mother, and that I think it is a different situation when your father does it. maybe not, but I think it is. There's a little compounding there I think is true.
How about honors?
Well, I've won many. In my business.
You want to list a few?
Okay. Let's see. I was the Advertising Woman of the Year at the Pittsburgh Advertising Club in 1965. Advertising Woman of the Year, or Kaufman's Advertising Salute. Why Leadership Advertising Woman of the Year. I have won many advertising awards, national and international advertising awards. So everybody does that. I guess I was National Woman of the Year for my national sorority, Alpha Epsilon Phi, a couple of years ago. And I guess that's it.
You speak, of hard work bringing you to where you are. Any other advice you would give people?
Well, I think that it helps to have a straightforward, don't kid yourself. I think you have to have an approach to working that is real. I try to be as realistic with yourself as you can. Nothing happens overnight. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes patience. And it takes a modicum of honesty. I think that there is so much dishonesty in business these days, that somebody who tells the truth might be even takes a risk by telling the truth. You have to be a diplomat, but you can tell the truth nonetheless about what you think. Saying what you think, that might be a novelty in business these days. It might be helpful. Stop faking it. Either learn it or, I'm just so sick of people who don't know what they're doing, telling you they know what they're doing, even though you know they don't know. And I think you can say, I don't know, I don't understand. Explain it to me. Help me. Show me. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with asking for advice. There's nothing wrong with asking for help. Nobody expects you to come full-blown to a job and say, I know all about it, I know everything there is to know, so don't tell me. I think a little a little humility occasionally might be useful. And hard work hasn't gone out of style yet, slowly, but it is going out of style, but I think you might be unique in your field if you worked an extra hour and didn't get paid for it. I think you can shoot off a cannon in most offices at 4:45. If the quitting time is 4:45, at 5:20, everybody's in the ladies' room. One would think that at least somebody might sit around till 5. 4:45 is such a strange quitting time anyway. But, that's the way it seems to be. Most people rush out when the bell rings. And that could be the fault of management. and probably is the fault of management. Somehow or another, management has instilled in these people, or not instilled in these people, any desire to give more than they get paid for. And that's a very unfortunate attitude. And I think those companies probably will be unsuccessful in the long run.
A little relief from soul searching.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Pittsburgh and the changes in Pittsburgh.
Oh, when I went to New York in 1938, I went because I wanted to escape from New York, from Pittsburgh. I thought it was so awful, dirty, ugly, awful. And the same thing when I went to California. Who would want to stay in this town in 1944? It was so dirty and ugly. Even though I had lots of wonderful friends here, it was so dirty. And so I left town. When I came back in 1955 or 56, I was so enamored, so thrilled at what had happened to this town. Beyond that, however, beyond the cleaning up and the making it nice, I have found that maybe it's true everywhere you live, everywhere where you have been raised, I don't know. But the friends that I had when I left town, even though I had not seen them for more than a telephone call or two when I come home on a couple of weeks vacation, in 12 years, are the same friends I have now. Of course, I made new friends in business, but essentially, except for younger people that I didn't know before I went away, the old friends I have are still my old friends. The people I was raised with, the people I went to college with here, they're still my friends. And I think that is a unique quality of a city this size with the strong ethnic ties that are you find here. It's a great place to live. I think I mentioned you earlier, I think it's a city to get your arms around. And that's the kind of city that I think can survive.
Have you seen a change in the character of the city?
Well, yes, I suppose it's made the changes that are contemporary. We have our own share of yuppie restaurants and yuppiedom here and there, but which I find repulsive. But in general, I think, strangely enough, this community is still very ethnic. There is still, despite the fact we are more sophisticated, the city is far more sophisticated. And obviously, except for the theater, an important difference in the cultural attitude, but in the growth of the cultural things in town, the museum and the orchestra and all the rest of it. But we are still quite ethnic in this town. I'm not sure it's good, but I like it.
How about the city's attitude towards women?
Oh, well, the city's attitude towards women is somewhat backward. I've lived in the towns where it's been, you know, in Los Angeles, where there really was very little of it, and in New York, where everybody, I never noticed it. But Pittsburgh is still very backward. The big companies, the big industrial companies, which are slowly becoming small of their own weight, they're the ones that have been the most backward, and if someday they may recover from it. Mm-hmm. By not being backward, they've been backward in every way, so there's no reason they wouldn't be slow to change in the women's movement as well.
Do you notice a change in the city's attitude towards Jews?
Well, I don't think the world, I have to believe, I unfortunately believe that the only thing that happens in the world's attitude towards Jews is it goes underground. it does not become, it is no longer overt. I don't think it's much different, however. I think if something happens, we will become scapegoats again. I have always felt that way, even though I have always been in the non-Jewish community. I have worked side by side and have very dear friends who are not Jewish. I mean, obviously, I was married to a Catholic. My sister-in-law is a Protestant. My brother's married to a Protestant. My son is married to an Indian. I mean, we are the United Nations. My nephew is married to a Chinese girl. We are the United Nations, as my mother used to say. So I've lived in a very sophisticated world. But I think that at some level, there is not much less anti-Semitism. It's just not visible. I think the same is true of blacks. So we call them blacks now. You know. But there's still a hell of a lot of prejudice. And we have it in us, and others have it in them. And we haven't changed that much, and neither have they. Let's face it. But humanity being humanity is the way we are.
What directions would you like the city to go?
Well, I certainly would like to see the city open up more opportunities for everyone. I'd love to see us do something about the Mon Valley and all the dreadfulness that is around us. This city cannot thrive while all of those people who are the refuse of the narrow-minded steel business are starving to death all around us. We can't survive. We have got to do something about the unemployed in this area. And I also would like to see us do something about the theater, but that's a separate one. I think having destroyed the Nixon Theater, we're paying $35 million to give us back a theater that won't be any good for live theater.
Okay. What changes do you see in the advertising and public relations business?
Well, it seems to be proliferating. The changes are that they're either big or they're small, and there doesn't seem to be anything in the middle anymore, which is unfortunate for the small ones. In the advertising industry, the pendulum has swung to enormous agencies gobbling up everybody in sight in the national picture. More and more mergers and so on. But that's been true in every business. I think it'll swing back the other way. There was a period of time when everybody who had a hat had an agency. I mean, wherever you hung your hat, you were in business. And there are quite a few agencies like that in business. Now, but and they seem to be proliferating.
How would you like to be remembered?
On my tombstone, I hadn't thought about it.
I don't mean it just that way.
I hadn't thought about it really. I have a book over there on the top of that. Piece of furniture over there that was given to me with letters in it written to me by my friends in the industry when I retired. I would love for my grandchildren to look upon me with the same respect, and I would love to have my grandchildren remember me as a sport.
Is there anything that we haven't covered that you would like to bring up?
No, I don't think so.
I'd like to know what you do for recreation besides play tennis. Do you have any hobbies?
Yes, well, I read omnivorously. I am particularly interested in biography, and I read a great deal. I guess my recreation is in the organization, in the organizations that I belong to. I enjoy very much working at Job Advisory Service, helping people get jobs and find new careers. And I find what I do as work and recreation. I can't just do nothing. I find it, I can't not. In fact, when I used to go on vacation, I never could go to the beach or never could go anywhere where all I was going to do was sit. Or just, I cannot spend a weekend at the pool doing this. I've never been able to do that. I'm an intense person who has to keep moving. And so whatever, working is recreation for me.
Now you are still working as much as you're doing consulting.
Yes.
Did you find the switch from retirement to consulting on a different type of basis a difficult one to make?
The only difficult part of it has been the a lack of give and take of dealing on a day-to-day basis with my peers.
Sort of thing.
The feedback. I miss that a great deal. And am in the process of trying to make an arrangement with a small agency now to have an office downtown so that I will be able to have some of that, at least to have it a couple of days a week. Otherwise, my work, the work that I do as a consultant, I have been doing for the last 10 years in the agency, so that what I am doing is not any different. And for the most part, the people with whom I've been working have been people for whom I have worked before. They have left the agency and or in other jobs or whatever, and have called me to work with them in other capacities, so that I have not really had what you would call new clients. They have been clients I've worked with before, for the most part, or people I've worked with before in different jobs.
Well, we're almost finished. Is there anything special that we haven't covered or anything you would like to bring up?
Well, of course, my dog. I haven't talked about the only other child I haven't. The only other child or grandchild I have. Well, who lives at home.
Yeah. Thank you, Bernice. I've learned quite a bit.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it. Thank you. I've enjoyed it, too.
We would like, if you, I'm sure you do have it from publicity, a picture.
Oh, sure. I'll be glad
to. If you have
to.
One now, or you can send it in.
Well, I can give it to you.
Oh,
I can give you one. I'll go down. I think I have them
down
here.
You have the newspaper.